Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
What's going on, Mr.
Man?
Talk to us.
Listen, I'm just excited. Weather's getting nice, and getting a chance to work on, Pat was giving me some tips on working on my tan, so I just had a little time to rest and
did I know?
Take in some sun rays, and so I'm doing good.
Ma, that was John. That was not.
Hey, listen, I'm owed a couple here. I've got credit. Watch the program.
Well, we're so excited about just recently what the Supreme Court did as they are making ruling after ruling in favor of the original intent of this nation. And it is so exciting to be able to see that. Today we're going to be talking about Dutch Sheets. Dutch Sheets just spoke. He came to Church of His Presence, an apostolic ministry, Brother John Kilpatrick's ministry there at the Mobile Convention Center. But they're soon, by November, by Thanksgiving, we'll be moving into their new facilities there. We're excited about
that.
Wow,
cool.
But also a spiritual father to me. And it was just exciting to hear, you know, Dutch back in the groove again, you know, hearing what's being said and how God has called him to the nations. And and to hear, you know, this third great awakening we've been talking about, because sometimes you're thinking like, oh, come on. You know, is somebody going to believe God for a third great awakening?
Right.
And when you see what was going on at the time of when Israel was coming out of Babylonian captivity or working their way out, and they had to rebuild the temple, that had the Persian Empire was, you know, oppressing them and all these different things was going on. And it doesn't matter who's in government. It matters whose government are we in. Mm-hmm. It matters that we're in God's government. And quite often, I think I see the church more into man's government than the God's government. And think about it. I mean, who's moving in authority? And when Jesus showed up, they said, who is this that speaks with such authority?
Mm-hmm.
When today's church shows up, they go, who's the one in authority here?
Right.
You know, what's going on? Or if the person's in authority, they're not even paying attention to them. They're just dishonoring that. And so we're talking about Dutch Sheets, you know, some of the things that he said, but this dream that he had about you know, boxing and how on one particular glove, he had a particular word called Everlast. We'll be talking about that now. We'll pull it up. You'll be able to see it. And another glove, I believe he had Evergreen. And he knew what Everlast meant because I guess he has a history of boxing or whatever, but there's Everlast gloves. But it took a couple of years. He just kind of shelved it. And what does Evergreen mean? Well, we're talking about this because it has to do with the original word put over America on a flag, the original flag of the 13 colonies when George Washington had made a covenant with the First Nation, a certain tribe of the First Nation folks. And we'll also have available for you on the VFN Torch where you can actually get Dutch Sheets' detailed explanation of this. I'm just going to be able to tell you briefly, you know, what happened. And obviously, you can explain it better than I can. And hopefully, we'll have Dutch on the program. I talked to him about coming on, and he said he's definitely open to do that, including Damian Thompson, who's traveling the United States right now, and God's just really using him to stir fire and revival, you know, up in the land. And, but it's exciting. It's very exciting because this flag, and it will show you the flag, and you'll be able to get the flag from Dutch Sheets Ministry. Because I just love to start seeing this flag fly. And it's about making an appeal to heaven, because that's what George Washington did. Because there's no way this ragtag army that said that they could be tracked by the blood in the snow because they're barefooted and they're bleeding, and you could just see the blood as you could follow them through Valley Forge and all the different situations that was going on. And it's just no way they could have won against such a huge, you know, army, this whole huge nation that was, you know, colonizing the world. But they did in the secret. We'll talk about that, and it's very exciting. Also, we'll be talking about this huge evangelistic army that's in the World Cup.
Yes, there's a huge evangelistic army. They're coming together for the World Cup, and their goal is 100,000 souls to come to Jesus.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. This is, many people are traveling from all over the world. Brazil's expecting, you know, president right now, 600,000 visitors, and many are from Muslim nations. And so they're coming, and they're They have plans and Bibles and all types of programs set up so they can go out there and witness and share the love of God with them. And some of these folks are going to be hearing about Jesus for the very first time. So just very excited about that.
It reminds me of Jersey, where, you know, people live within a 5-block radius and they don't travel anywhere out. So when you see somebody from Jersey outside that 5-block radius, witness to them. Is that not right?
That's right.
I mean, it's amazing. So people, you know, that's a perfect example. When people are coming to the World Cup, that's a time to get down there and talk to them, because they've never came outside of their culture. They've never come outside
of
whatever.
Out.
You know, and being Muslim means you were born into a family or married into a family, and they say, you know, boom, you're Muslim.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it happens, you know, versus being born again into the kingdom of God. So they don't know anything else outside of that. And remember this too, that God loves the Muslims. And he loves them, and that he will show himself to them. And they go like, "What? Well, your God is real." I mean, and speaking of that, you know, Mecca is like right around the corner. It's happening, I think, in June or July, or, you know, the pilgrimage to. And this is one time when Muslims begin to pray out and ask, you know, God, show yourself to me.
Wow.
Show a sign to me. And this is when a lot of Muslims begin to see, you know, Jesus.
Yeah. Mm.
And when you call out for God, God will answer. So just pray when they're calling out, Lord, speak to me. God, speak to me. Show yourself to me. And that Jesus would reveal himself to the Muslims. And many get saved during that time because they're crying out to God. And so when you see that, instead of just going like, just go, this is the moment in time that they're seeking.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
This is the moment in time they're taking that pilgrimage and they're going, walking around that hole in the ground. Mm-hmm. They're waiting for that to come out of the hole and put a mark. And I was listening to, remember the quote Million Man March that was really about 100 folks, and in Washington, D.C., and watching an interview take place with one of the Muslims that was there passing out newspapers, and he said, I'm an American Muslim, I don't identify with all, I don't speak Arabic or whatever language, Farsi, whatever they're talking about, and but he knew what was going on. But he's just trying to disassociate himself from what was happening. And because I mean, if and truly, you know, if you're saying you're a Christian, and but there's people saying they're Christians, but they're violating the Bible, you got to be able to say, well, that's not what God does. You're right. That is happening. But those folks right there, they're not followers of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Muslims don't stand up and go. You know, all Muslims don't stand up and go. Some do. Very few do. Stand up and say, well, that's not. They're not Muslims, what they're doing, this killing and beheading and all that. You don't see. You know, as a matter of fact, we had, what's her name?
Bridget. And according to Bridget, 1.2, 1.8 billion Muslims. And 15 to 25% are radical jihadists, which would bring that number to close to 300 million, which is the...
bigger than the United States.
Yeah.
Who wants to see the Western world ended.
So where are the other 800 or 900,000, you know, Muslims at?
And she said the majority is irrelevant. And everything, not just in Muslims, but Christianity and populations and all. Well, irrelevant for the fact they're not going to say nothing. And so it's a perfect time to be able to pray that God would reveal himself to the Muslim people and pray for them. And I hadn't got a chance to get to it. I don't know whether I'm just, you know, there's so much going on. We're trying not to load you, but Son of Hamas, I hadn't got a chance to be able to share about that, but it just gives you such a great paradigm of having a burden for the Muslim people and understanding they were raised up in that. That's all they know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's God to them until they know God through Jesus Christ. And there's so many religious battles going on that when you meet this loving Jesus who even says, love your enemies and pray for them, this is a huge paradigm shift for all these other religions of the world. And anyway, so we're going to be talking about Dutch Sheets today, but he just came down to Church of His Presence. I was so excited to be there just to hear what's being said. And I really thank, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick for hosting him. And because Dutch called him and said he had a word for the nation. He said, "You come on in." And he just gave him the stage and let him talk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so encouraging. It was very encouraging.
Wow.
But one thing he talked about was, you know, don't believe people who say it's over. don't believe people who say it's over. And what we constantly are trying to say, and the whole reason, I mean, think about it. If we thought it was over, we would not be here.
Right.
We would not be broadcasting around the world,
right,
our faces, our voices. You think about that.
So we could be with the over.
Yeah,
right.
You know, we're not, you know, there was this struggle between, you know, are we Jeremiah, you know,
right,
you know, are we Daniel, or are we Josiah? But the truth is that we believe that what America's going through is God's getting our attention to bring us to a place of repentance so that we hear from heaven and God forgives our sin and heals our land. And he has a plan for this nation. He wants to write us in the book of life, not out of the book of life. And when you hear what Dutch Sheets was talking about, it's very exciting. And don't forget about the new editions. It's not new to us, but it's new access. We have access to as a matter of fact, I think you can see it right here if you guys can put it on there. If you go to the VFN Torch, it has a drop-down menu now, and you have, of course, Prophecies, Hope, Israel, Wisdom Moments, Third Great Awakening. We've been talking about it from day one. Persecuted Church, different series to help you out. But right here under Hope, Faith, Hope, Love, and the Holy Spirit. You know, mm-hmm. I want to encourage you that go there and just begin to eat those conversations about hope and about faith and about God, because when you're looking at everything that's going on, you need to focus on the fact that, but there's hope. God is actually, you know, delivering his folks. Sad thing is, quite often we have to go through some difficult times, and it just happens. Every parent knows, oh, I don't want to have to discipline you, child. But you're realizing the only thing left is discipline, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Dutch Sheets is talking at Church of His Presence just this week, and he's talked about a dream. First, he talked about a burden. You know, if you want to know what God wants, just pray for His heart to be revealed to you. We've been praying that now for quite some time, mm-hmm. and just like him, we found out that when He starts revealing it to you, you just start falling apart. You're just like, I can't take this. And he said, there was a point where, you know, he was just thought he was going to lose it, mm-hmm. and that he pulled off the side of the road, and this is some other aspect of what's going on. That's where this all comes from. He wasn't sharing this part at Church of His Presence, but that this is where it comes from. What I'm about to share with you, it comes from somebody who said, God, I want to know your heart.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, God, I want a national ministry. God, right. I want this. I want that. I want this. He said, I want to know your heart. And then he began to pray, God, you're going to have to give me a grace for this. And I remember when the Lord was speaking to me about a lot of things. People say, you know, God gave me a dream last year. And I'm like, oh, he did? Last year he gave me a dream?
Wow.
He's like, okay, that's wonderful. Mm. That's wonderful. I'm just trying to digest the last seven he gave me last night.
Right.
And anyway, so God's revealing these things to me, you know, again and again and again. Brother Ken Summerall, a spiritual father to me who's now with the Lord, you know, he acknowledged that fact. He would come to me and ask me, you know, what does this mean? But you just get to points like, God, you'd wake up angry. You'd wake up responding to what God revealed to you. And then finally, because, you know, he's showing what's actually happening, what people are doing, their strategies and how they're not responding and different things. And I just got angrier and angrier. Mm-hmm. And then finally the Lord told me, you know, well, if that's how you're going to react by me speaking to you, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Then I had to understand, like Samuel had to understand, that it had nothing to do with Samuel when Israel was saying, we want a king. It was having to do between God's people and God. Mm-hmm. And so God was letting Samuel in on what was happening between him and his people. And so our heart would be broken for God. And the point to talk to folks and teach them and help them not go that particular direction. And I'm like, God, I want to hear it. Whatever it is, I want to hear it. So we begin to pray for a grace for God to reveal to us his heart. And I really feel that, you know, he has revealed, you know, part of his heart to us about what, you know, what we're doing, what he's called us to do. And it's amazing, you know, what he's doing. So when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about what Dutch Sheets talked about and how God gave him this dream about being a boxer and what was written on both those gloves and how it has to do with the flag that first flew over the 13 colonies with George Washington.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
I'm John Fuller, and this is Focus on the Family Minute. The word evangelism can be an intimidating one, but it doesn't have to be. Whether you think you have a profound story or not, God wants you to share His love. Elisa Morgan, President Emerita of MOPS International, explains.
We get incredibly stuck in evangelism, thinking that we have to have all the right answers. We have to protect God's reputation. We have to have this big dramatic story, you know, that could be made into a Valerie Bertinelli docudrama on TV. You know, we think we have to have all these things, when really, God simply asks us to be the broken and being redeemed humans that we are, and let His light shine out of the very cracks of who we are. It's that simple.
Encouragement to know your story and look for ways to tell others what God has done in your life. For further encouragement and tools, stop by focusonthefamily.com/radio. I'm John Fuller.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it, 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so that you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
I want to encourage you, if you have a Christian business, you have any business, and you want to stand with us, we really want to get together with you. We love promoting those that love to stand for God, country, and Israel. And we want to give you that opportunity to do so. And we also want you, like you were talking about, you know, a little while ago, Greg, to visit some of our sponsors. These are wonderful people. I got a chance to meet all of them and meet with them and know their heart. But we have sponsors. If you need a vehicle, you can visit Glenn Parker. I mean, if you're looking to rent or buy a home, you want to talk to Mark Downey. I mean,
Mark Downey Associates. He is the man and his team.
Yeah, they're excellent. You have a great meal. You want to go visit Auntie's out in Cantonment.
Ooh,
barbecue.
A taste of Southern soul.
There's so many wonderful places and so many great sponsors.
Her food is so good. I was sitting there having her food. I could tell you. This man came in. He's going to have his first ribs off of her smoker. And I said, I looked at him, remember? And I said, can I watch you take your first bite? Right?
Yeah.
And I turned my head and I missed his first bite. But he came back later and he says, they was good. That's Auntie's, right?
Auntie's.
Off of Highway 29.
A taste of Southern soul.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, we're talking about Dutch Sheets. Dutch Sheets just spoke at Church of His Presence there in Mobile, Alabama. Mobile, Alabama. And okay. We're excited about Church of His Presence. They're going to be moving into their new building. It is projected to be in Thanksgiving. And Perry Stone is going to be there, part of it.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's very exciting. You record Perry and you go back and listen to him a couple times slower.
Yeah.
It's just slow it down. It's like, anyway, so the man knows so much. He says so much in that particular time. It's kind of like how I like to hear it, really. So Dutch is actually has this dream, Dutch Sheets, and he's kind of sharing a little bit of it. We're gonna give you a direct link on how to get this information where you can hear Dutch explain it himself. But I just want to encourage you to go get it. But in this dream, he's talking about that God gave him a dream and he had boxing gloves on. As you can see, the boxing gloves probably here on your TV. And on one particular glove, it had the word Everlast. And he knew this. I wouldn't have known it. But actually, you can see on your screen, there actually is a glove called Everlast. And on the other glove, there was another word, Evergreen. And he knew immediately what Everlast was. As a matter of fact, he started talking about when Abraham made the covenant with God. He began to talk about the first time that was even mentioned in the Bible, which is first mentions are always very important, that God is outside of our time. He is before us and he is after us. He's before time and after time. Time exists in an element of his wider existence. It's just he just does not dwell, you know, in this concept, this linear way of thinking. And so when you hear that, that's what that meant when he made covenant with God. And so he knew what that meant, but he didn't understand what evergreen meant. And so he kind of shelved it and he talked some more about it, you know, kind of tried to force the issue and try to find out what it was about. But maybe about 5 years later, and I'm kind of trying to remember the time frame, he gets to a particular point where he's finding out, as a man begins to say, I had this dream, and this dream was like a 3-hour dream.
Wow.
So he says, I'm not going to use the whole 3 hours, you know, to be able to share, begin to abbreviate the dream. And he talks about, you know, and it makes me think about, you know, what Morningstar Ministries did about honoring the fathers that have gone before us and all. And so that's basically what Dutch has done because of this, is to honor what God is doing, the whole synergy of what he's doing everywhere. And we've always sought to honor. And, but in this, there's this old camp meeting place, and this is how it used to happen, where you go in the wilderness, they poured a slab out, put a roof over it with some pretty basic plywood-type walls with some windows that you would open and prop out with a stick or whatever. And what he looked out one particular window, this is the guy talking to him, and one window was these ships coming from afar off. And these ships were coming, and from a distance, he kind of glanced at them and thought, man, this looks like the ships from Pilgrims had, you know, and it got closer and closer, and all of a sudden it was. And these pilgrims came in. When they came into this place, you know, and I'm paraphrasing to the best I can, you can get the actual thing from Church of His Presence, but plus the sheets will have it available for you. And everybody just started applauding, given a huge welcoming to that particular season of those who carried the torch, who were part of being where we are, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they got applauded, then looked out another window or something to that effect, and all of a sudden the next season of time came in. And I believe this one was, you know, those who established the West and planted and forged the their way all the way over to the Pacific Ocean and all that. And they started coming in. And you could see them coming from a distance out one of those windows. And then they came in, and everybody's just giving this huge, just applauding that. So it was like the next season of folks. And I may be missing a season, but this, you see, and how everything connected. Because what the narrative the enemy's trying to put out right now over America was that there's nothing connected. There's no reason for America. Mm. It's all was founded on false principles, that our founding fathers were deist, or they were agnostic, and all these things, you know. Just trying to write out anything they could do, to discredit them or dishonor them and dishonor those that have come before us. And so all of a sudden, which is not true, obviously, that's, they're trying to undo what is true so they can do what is wrong. And so then, so they came in, this huge round of applause came in. And then the next thing that happened, the next season of people that was in America came, they had cars and all these different things, and it was us.
Right.
And when they were coming in, you know, our generation coming in, and everybody's just applauding that generation that, I guess, that kept the torch through all these different things. How everything's connected, everything's meaningful, everything's purposeful. There was no gap in the context of this. And then finally it's the next generation and that we've got to think about how to connect to this next generation, to make a covenant with this next generation. And so what he discovered, I believe, in the context of this, that George Washington, when you see, we have a picture of him actually on our partner page. He's kneeling down praying by his horse. That's a true story. That's why that's there, because, you know, for God and country in that order, and Israel's what we're all about. And when he began to realize that we cannot, he and others, we cannot continue this oppression from this government, we're going to have to fight for our freedom. That it was a ragtag army. There was no way that it was going to be able to happen. There was no way it's going to be able. It just couldn't. This huge army that's colonizing the world, and this rebellion. And understand, maybe it was only like 20%. Remember, the majority is always irrelevant. And they were irrelevant. They didn't join in. They just benefited off the ones who did. And so they stood up and they said, you know, we've got to fight for our freedom. And so he went and made a covenant, and you can find out more details about this on the torch. But he went and made George Washington went and made a covenant with one of the First Nation tribes that was here, and it wasn't like people said it was, because they made a covenant to stand together. And they did that. They actually did it in front of an evergreen. Mm. And they buried some weapons at the foot of the evergreen. And that's where you hear, you know, bury the hatchet. So you get the thing, bury the hatchet of this. Because they were saying, listen, we got to come together. The First Nation folks had to come together with the Second Nation folks. You know, George Washington and the people in America, they all had to come together. Because we have an enemy out here. And Great Britain, England wants to come and, you know, destroy us. And we got to come together. Some synergy had to happen. And so they made a covenant at the base of the evergreen, and they buried at the foot of the evergreen some weapons. Mm-hmm. They would stand together. So when you see that, what they did was, at that point, they made a plea to heaven. Mm. They made a plea to heaven, an appeal to heaven, saying, you know, there's no way we can do this thing, but this is unjust. This is something that we need to have. And when you're talking about America's original intent, this is down to the evergreen tree. Wow. To when, you know, Americans were coming together, including the First Nation folks, for all the people who are trying to divide the First Nation folks and fight for this country. It wasn't until Andrew Jackson came along until all that stuff started happening, and he started pushing folks, you know, west of the Mississippi. Everybody was working together up until that particular point, living together and that type of thing. And reports of history is. And so the first flag that flew, I want you to look at this. The first flag that flew over the 13 colonies across Massachusetts and a couple others as well, was a flag that said an appeal to heaven. And it's over an evergreen tree. It's over an evergreen tree. And that tree represents covenant, that, And he's talking about, and this is what Dutch Sheets was talking about. It's really encouraging because we got to get back to the original intent of our nation. What was, because God has a purpose for America. The light, a city on a hill, all the things that she's done, she's got to come back to this place. And things they're accusing America of, there is no nation on the face of this earth that ever existed that hasn't done those things. The thing about it is everybody's not that. Everybody's not that. And I was just listening to, you know, Help Me Find My People, the author of this particular book, talking about how horrific, and it is, slavery was in America, but the majority of people in the South did not own slaves.
Right.
The majority of people didn't own slaves. And so just to say that you're in America and you live in the South, all of a sudden somehow you were a slave owner, that's not true. The majority of people in America didn't. And Northerners and Southerners did that practice. But also Abraham, all the way across the history of mankind, the question was that, you know, were you honorable in what you were doing? Did you treat people kind and fair and pay them and all these different things? And the evilness of the context of that, but that is, it needs to be dealt with. There needs to be repentance. There needs to be, but understand, it doesn't mean America goes away. It means we repent. It was wrong. And understand that in the original intent of our nation, that everybody was working together in that. And when you look at the Constitution, when they were writing it, there was a faction inside of America, that was fighting for it, but there was a faction of America that was fighting against it. And since it was a democracy in the context of that, in a republic, you just couldn't say, you know, like a dictator, this is how it's going to be. So they foresaw in the future that that would be totally out because all men are created equal. And Dr. King is the one that brought it, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. brought it to the reality. And what he referred to was the original intent of the Constitution. And that's exactly what happened a long time later. But because those papers were there, he was able to say, I'm only holding you what's written on the paper. I'm only holding you what's written on the paper. And this is the original pill, an appeal made to heaven. We'll get more on this when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you're tired of religion, think about this. If you're tired of all these mechanisms and supporting these ziggurats and these all these things going on, if you're ready to get into the kingdom, you know, find someone who's hearing from God. Find a gathering that's hearing from God. Find an apostolic center. Find one of those hubs. Maybe the VFN Dream Center's for you. You know, we're located on the Gulf Coast in Pensacola, Florida, a very significant things that have happened since God told us to establish it here. But they're all around the place. North Carolina, you have Morning Star, you have Church of His Presence in Alabama with Pastor John Kilpatrick. Mm-hmm. You have IHOP Kansas City with Mike Bickle. You have Chuck Pierce, Zion Ministries in Corinth, Texas. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He got the good one. He got Texas, man. And so it's amazing what, and so God is doing this all over the place, but you want to get into that place.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
There is a level of grace about to be poured out that is striking. It's awesome. It's going to come to sinners and awaken them when they're not looking. Are you hearing me? They're not going to be looking. It's going to get prodigals when the prodigals don't even know they want to go home. They're going to wake up one day and decide, I'm ready to go home. Sinners who don't believe are going to wake up and say, I believe. Atheists are going to have some light turned on inside of them. God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about Dutch Sheets and what he just shared at Church of His Presence, what he's been sharing around the nation. He is an apostle to the nation. He's a patriot in regards to America. And as you just heard, in that God is revealing to him that God has good plans in store for this nation. We truly believe it, too. We believe in God for a third great awakening. We've been preparing for it, for the harvest, painstakingly.
Yes.
It's hard to prepare for a harvest with folks that don't even aren't even in a harvest or don't even believe one's coming. It's like, it makes no sense. I don't see any corn. Just help me build the barn.
Work with me.
You know, and then the harvest comes. You didn't prepare to go, we need a barn. It's like,
oh.
This is like, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. It's like, you know, what do you, Noah, why are you building an ark? Why are you building an ark? There's a flood coming. Ah, there's no flood
rain.
Coming. And then the flood comes like, we need a boat. It's like, come on. And so in this particular dream, I believe it was that Dutch Sheets had, he had two gloves up, and one glove said Everlast, which we talked about that. That's when God's mentioned in a way with Abraham that he makes this covenant. But the other glove was Evergreen, and it took a while for him to over 5 years, I believe it was. And this dream came in, and somebody's sharing this dream with him. I believe the guy's name is Thomas, but as he's sharing it with him, he began to reveal the fact that this was the first flag flown over. As a matter of fact, before this guy is telling him the dream, before he even told him, was there an evergreen tree on that flag? He's like, how did you know? You know, and this convergence that takes place, you know, as they're talking. So what happened was that this one tribe with First Nation folks made a covenant with George Washington. It was an impossible thing. They had to make an appeal to heaven. And what's what we can do? And it's not like okay, we're not going to make it. Let's just try this. It is the way that you do it. We make an appeal to heaven when it's right, despite if you're outnumbered, even if you're like Gideon, you can make an appeal to heaven. That's what Gideon did. Gideon's like, you know, where is this gospel, this God that they talk about in the history, where is that? He made this appeal, you know, and then God began to use Gideon to be able to unfold that. He made this plea to heaven, and there you go. I mean, all of a sudden the nation was freed. And just like that, this ragtag army that says that they can be tracked, that George Washington's army, which he lost more battles than won, could be tracked in the snow by the blood they left behind by their barefoot bleeding feet in the snow.
Wow.
And it's like, man, what it took to be able to believe God and to move in that appeal. And this appeal from heaven, quite often, appeal to heaven, you know, people think, well, it just means you just continue your life in luxury and it doesn't require anything from you. I don't have shoes. I can't fight. I can't stand up for God. I can't do this, you know. And there's sacrifice, you know, involved in whatever that is. And so here they are. But when you study, and this is what Dutch is talking about, when you study when God made a covenant with Abraham and Abraham with God, that he planted a tree, but the tree that he planted had a different name for it. But when you look at the root of that tree is an evergreen tree. So an evergreen tree means there's a covenant. You're making a covenant. It's a covenant type tree. And so not only that, when you make a covenant, when you can see this flag right here. I think you can see him waving this flag. And so this is that original flag that was flown over our 13 colonies. It was definitely spread across Massachusetts, he said, another state. That he started waving it, and the Holy Spirit just told him to wave it in a figure eight. And eight is the number of covenant. Remember, I was circumcised on the eighth day, the cutting away, the covenant with God. And in that when Abraham was making a covenant, you remember, I always thought you just walked straight. But really, he walked in a figure eight because he's making, you know, a covenant with God. And so then you start thinking about it, that evergreen trees grow so slow. That grow so slow, he's talking about this, that you never plant it for yourself.
Huh.
You never plant it for yourself. You plant it for the next generation because you're not going to experience the fullness of what's going to happen. It's going to be the next generation will live off the shade of your covenant with God.
Wow.
And so you're saying, no, who's willing to plant a tree that only the next generation will benefit from? And when you saw, as that man's dream with a 3-hour explanation of, because the pilgrims were willing to make a covenant with God, the next generation came and lived in the shade of that covenant. And because of that generation, you know, was willing to make a covenant with God, the next generation that they applauded that came in, you know, able to live in the shade of that covenant. And so we have to be willing to do what's required. This is what I'm getting from what he was sharing, and which makes sense. That's what, I mean, if you just knew what we've been doing, I mean, we've been building foundation and everything, you know, just digging trenches that God's going to pour rain in. And so for the next generation, how to bring the gospel to this generation so that they would have. And so we've been, you know, walking that, others have been walking out as well too. And I thought, man, that is so exciting. So I encourage you, you can get this flag in 3 different sizes. And I want, you know, Dutch has resigned his position at Church for the Nations so that he could
Christ for the Nations
so that he could come and tell us this. So he can go from place to place and begin to let us know that this is what God is saying. Mm. This is so important. We appreciate him to do that. And he talked about a window of time as we began to share it earlier on our program, where he's talking about, I believe, a 2-year window of time. And so this is not something, hey, I might think about it. No, we need to act now.
Yeah.
And we'll have access to how to get all this on the VFN Torch. And hopefully we'll have, you know, Dutch on with us soon to be able to talk about in more details. But there's hope. I mean, there's hope. The third great awakening happens in the context normally of great adversity. If you look what happened with Charles Seymour in Azusa Street, you look at a man that was going through great persecution, great rejection, but he did not allow the darkness of mankind to stop him from seeking the lightness of God. And it's not because we're good that we're asking for it. It's like, you know, we're so good in America, God, that you would just give us a great awakening. It's the opposite. It's because God is good. It's because we need a great awakening to be able to awaken our hearts to sin and awaken our hearts to our lives and our decisions and where we are. So the third great awakening begins to change us. When Azusa Street happened, you know, the great racism, oppression, just religious race repression upon Charles Seymour. He pushed through. He sought the Lord. And because he did, he birthed probably the first integrated church, you know, in America, gender and race, in a former, you know, stable at some point it served. And Azusa Street's the name of the street. And God touched the world in 1906, which I think is pretty interesting because I really... Man, I did hear Dutch talk about that this weekend. And of course, that dream kind of shows you, you cannot cut off past generations and ignore what God did and think you're going to experience something, because you totally dishonored God when you said it wasn't important what happened at Brownsville, the Brownsville outpouring. Right. Why do you keep bringing that up? Because it's God.
Right.
You know, this wasn't important what happened in 1906 and during that 3 years of Azusa Street Revival. It is important. It was God. And think about this. Let me tell you how important it is. God connected during the Azusa Street of 1906. In 1906, when God began to pour himself out, the earthquake, I believe, happened maybe the next year. But that lasted for 3 years. And during that 3 years, you know what happened? Brownsville in Pensacola, Florida was founded during that time.
Wow.
And God knew that in Father's Day of 1995, think about it. In 1995, he was going to pour himself out in this other city that was founded during the time of Azusa Street Revival. And it was founded, Brownsville, that community Brownsville that he poured himself out in there at the Father's Day 1995 Brownsville outpouring, that it was founded because water was brought to that particular area there. And so God does remember. Everything does connect. And that's one thing that Dutch was really talking about was, it all connects, and we need to honor that. And it's the synergy of all that God's doing. And it's about all of us. It's about everything he has done, he is doing, and agreeing with, and I know we got to go to break, but agreeing with those who, not with the dead, but agreeing with what they profess. For example, God told Joseph that you will be brought out of here when they were in captivity. But understand, he was brought out, his generations were brought out, and they brought his bones out. But understand this, that your offspring's success is your success. When God gives you a word and he says he's going to do something, there's two things to fight against you. You can fight against yourself where you're trying to make it happen in your time frame, and you die doing that. Or other people try to force you to make it happen in their expected time frame. Versus the fact is, God's not a liar. This is what he said he's going to do. And it may be for our season to carry the torch. So in the next generation, they're going to be able to take that torch, and it's all going to come to pass in the context of it. It was 400 years later when Joseph came up out of Egypt. And that's what happens. And understand, this is one continual story. And so we need to agree with what God said to Abraham, what God said through all those that have gone before us. You know, I agree with what the Lord has said through, you know, Ken Summerall, Brother Ken Summerall, some of the things that he fought and he desired to see come to pass. You know, I'm believing, I'm seeing it come to pass. And I believe that it's going to come to pass. The same thing with those that have already gone to be with the Lord, that don't just cut it off. Realize these things are still coming to pass if we get in agreement with what was the original intent of what God said to that man or woman of God. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Speaking of barreling down the road, I had a chance to visit VFM Bronx yesterday and was with Eddie and Maria. I had such a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. Pastor Maria. But, I thought that, you know, Greg, you know, I like the way he drives. You know, I tell you what.
Yeah. You should have seen my father. We got to tell you about that.
Oh, I know. I don't know. I got somebody here that'll give you a challenge. I got in the car with Eddie, and I wasn't sure if I was riding in a car or in a roller coaster. They say, what's wrong with you? I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying. He's driving in New York on the George Washington Bridge, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, in the dark, you know, the bridge has two levels. You have the top level, okay? Then you have the bottom level. You actually feel like you're in a
tunnel. You have
tunnel.
Three levels. The other level is the water underneath the bridge.
Yeah, hello. And he's just going in and out. I said, Eddie. I know he's listening today.
He's been driving that. He could probably drive that bridge blindfolded because he's been driving that bridge for years, man.
For years. He knows how to turn them corners, man, on a dime. But that's a wonderful, wonderful time there. Really enjoyed myself.
That's so cool. Give a shout out to Eddie this morning. Can't wait to hear some feedback about the insanity, man.
Oh, no. I saw him yesterday. I don't know how much insanity is going on. I don't know. I saw some, you know, and that pizza he got, you know.
Bring the word up. Oh, my goodness. Pizza sounds good. Actually, New York pizza. If you get a chance, you know, while America stands, you got to get some pizza from New York. Oh, it's so good.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Make sure you go to The Torch, VFNTV.com, and find out more about Dutch Heath's ministry. We need to stand with Dutch as he stands with God for this nation, because this is exciting that God is going to do some things. It's going to take those that are willing, that God says, listen, I want you to speak nationally, a national word. And we're going to be sharing some more things about prayer and authority and that as well. You can find out tons of things from DutchSheets.org. But what we talked about, we'll be able to find out more details on The Torch. Talk to us, John, about Ann Graham 777, Urgent Call to Prayer.
Ann Graham
just recently wrote a letter to Pat Robertson of the 700 Club, and I believe to other leaders in the body of Christ, that she feels she has a mandate. She's calling it an urgent call to prayer. And she, in this letter she writes to Pat, she says that over the last 26 years she's been speaking and traveling, but here recently she has stayed home to take care of her husband who has been ill. And I'm going to read a little bit of what she said in her letter. She said, I have had time to be quiet and listen more to the whispers of the Spirit. He has revealed things to me in the stillness that I'm not sure I would have heard in my former busyness. One of the things he has impressed upon me is that we are living in the end of human history as we know it. And in light of this, he's given me some practical assignments, one of which was the honorary chair at the National Day of Prayer 2014, this May. And he gave me this message to deliver, and it was from Joel chapter 1. The day of the Lord is at hand.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Man, we're just talking about exciting things. You're talking about the Joel chapter 1?
Joel chapter 1. I mean, we've shared about this protocol.
We talk about Joel chapter 2 all the time, you know, and the truth is one comes before two.
One comes before two.
Wow.
And it was a message about warning and judgment.
Right. The wrath.
And the wrath of God.
In preparation for two. It wasn't like the end of things. It was like how to prepare. I mean, think about if you're dirt, right? Well, just think if you're dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, you know, I want this place to be fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
So when the dirt starts seeing you show up with a tiller, it's going to think, that's the wrath of God.
Right.
You know, that it's fixing to just till me under and turn me up and pull roots out of me and start pouring stuff into me. And a lot of people want to tell you, hey, this is a world ending. It's all over. And it's like, no, God's preparing that soil to do something good with it. Right.
Yeah.
And that's what when you think about one and two, one is like the tiller and two is like the fruit from that process. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you think so?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolute process. Well, she continues to say in this letter that she's been given another assignment, and this assignment basically is issuing a National Day of Prayer. It's an initiative. It's called 777, and it's an urgent call to pray for God's people to come together on the seventh day of the month, for the first 7 days of the month. So that's July, seventh month, and then the first 7 days is July 1st through the 7th. And then on the seventh day, which would be a Monday, would be to fast and to pray for 7 hours. 777. I know that Pat Robertson, 700 Club, has shared this, as well as International House of Prayer, Mike Bickle, and I'm sure a few others. And this is the purpose. The purpose is for this. One is for God the Father to restrain and protect and deliver his people from evil that has come into the world. The second thing is for God's Son, Jesus, to be exalted, magnified, glorified in his church, in our nation, and in our lives. And then thirdly, for God, the Holy Spirit, to fall on us in a fresh way, compelling the church to repent of sin and our nation to return to faith in the living God, resulting in a great national spiritual awakening.
So let's break those down again, because we need to really, those are three areas of focus.
Yeah, three areas of focus.
What I think is interesting, I was just reading in Ezra this morning as they're preparing to rebuild the temple, and it was on the seventh month, first day of the seventh month, they began to rebuild.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
They all began to bring offerings and do different things like that. So what was the first focus, the prayer focus?
One would be for God the Father to restrain, protect, and deliver his people from the evil that has come into our world.
Wow. So we're seeing a lot of evil, but that's an appeal to heaven, like we're talking about with Dutch.
Yeah.
I mean, making that appeal. God, restrain this evil. Protect us from this evil.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy will try to convince you that they are bigger than God. They're not bigger than God. They're lying.
Yeah.
But we have to remember our faith is in God. You know, Psalms 91 says, he that puts his refuge and makes God his refuge will be protected. And that's what we're doing at that point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
Protect us from wrath,
and to protect us, deliver us from all evil.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. The second thing is for God, the Son, Jesus, to be exalted, magnified, and glorified in three areas, in his church, in our nation, and of course, personally in our own lives, which is so important.
Yes.
And so we
want... Now we talked about them, now we're talking about us.
Right. See the progression, nation,
yes,
church,
us,
then us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so really, if we want the move of God to start, it needs to start in our own heart individually, then collectively as we come together as believers, and then it'll spill out to the rest of the world.
So it's not protecting me so I can stay in my sin. It's protecting me to give me a chance to catch my breath so my next breath can say, God, I've sinned.
That's right.
I've fallen short. Forgive me for my sin.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then the third focus is for God, the Holy Spirit, to fall on us in a fresh way, compelling the church to repent of sin, and our nation to return to faith in the living God, right? Resulting in a great national spiritual awakening.
A third great awakening.
Yeah.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yeah. And I find this interesting as we just shared, both her brother just shared, how him and his father are believing for a spiritual awakening as well. And the convergence of also Rodney Howard Brown and Celebrate America is actually going to be happening right around the same time.
For a whole 7 days or something?
Like that, well, from July weeks? The 1st to July the 5th.
Oh, wow.
So the same, you know.
Taking JC to DC.
JC to DC, power evangelism and just so much. This is that. And starting it right now this is a prophetic time.
It's kind of like the day of our independence, you know. That's what the 4th of July is. It's not about hot dogs. It's not about fireworks. Yeah. It's what those fireworks represent.
Mm-hmm.
And those fireworks represent, I don't know if I was listening or talking to someone, that's when they see fireworks, it reminds them of the explosions that took place during, was that Steve talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
Was that you talking about that, Steve? Yeah. He came off watch this morning. He's a little
quiet.
Right. Yes, I think it was. And, but just seeing, that's what it represents. It represents fighting for your freedom. It's not like the bombs bursting in air is about the very fact that people had to experience potentially being blown up in the ragtag flag meant it went through a huge battle and it represents that we had to fight for our independence.
Mm-hmm.
But the independence was, when you read the Declaration of Independence, it's specifically talking about that, you know, all of our rights come from God. It's just, this thing can't happen. It's in the ear of our Lord. And it's spelling out in detail, I think, I believe it's 17 reasons why we declared our independence. 23 or 17.
21.
But this is the narrative of those who want to just do away with it. Taxation without representation.
Right.
But the truth is there was like 21 different reasons why we declared that. Most of all is that every man's rights come from God. And they had to be, you know, focused in the context of that. So I want to encourage you that, you know, understand that God is working out a plan. The fact that it's July 1st when God is doing these different things, you know, you can participate with Awake America, with Dr. Howard.
Rodney Howard Brown. Yeah.
Yes, and you can find out more at the VFN TV. Go to links right there. Also joining with the, we have details and links to be able to get to 777, the call to prayer by Ann Graham Plotz, right?
Lots.
And just, you see, the church is just awakening. If we respond, if we make a plea to heaven, just like George Washington did, the original tent, willing to make a covenant, the next generation will be able to see grow up, because it takes a while for these things to manifest. Then we will be applauded like past generations when we go into heaven and saying, you were faithful in your generation.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.